Hi, this is Asim.
This is Sujoy.
This is Amrita.
And you're listening to Khandan, a Bollywood podcast about the three main Khans of the Hindi film industry.
Aamir,
Salman,
and Shah Rukh.
Hi, you're listening to Khandan, a Bollywood podcast regular feed. Thank you so much for your support over the years. We now have a Patreon channel with bonus content and exclusive merch for those of you who would like to support us. Every dollar goes towards creating more and better content. Visit us at patreon.com/Khandan Podcast.
Yes. Hi and welcome to a new episode of Khandan Podcast. My name is Asim Dwarni and I'm joined by my co-host Amrita and Sujoy. Hey Amrita, hey Sujoy.
Hello.
We are doing an episode of just basically current releases, stuff that we've been watching, and especially because Amrita has been watching a lot of things, so, you know, we have to grab the opportunity to discuss those things.
It happens once in a blue moon, so get it while it's hot.
Exactly. Garam garam papad. And a lot of things we watch now that we had already kind of discussed, and let's get into Citadel maybe first, because Sujoy watched it a little bit. But me and Amrita didn't get a chance. But we have watched... I watched three episodes. Amrita, you watched how many?
I watched two episodes.
Yeah. So the fourth one dropped yesterday. I wanted to start watching it, but then the heart just sucked me in and I could not let go. We'll get to that later on in the episode. But Amrita, what did you think of Citadel?
Okay. So I am a big Richard Madden fan and I thoroughly enjoyed The Bodyguard when it came out.
We found one. We found a Richard Madden fan.
Yeah. I really liked him. I loved him as like Robb Stark. I thought he was just perfect. And Bodyguard was like amazing. But he's not the best so far in episodes 1 and 2 of The Citadel. Maybe he gets better later. I don't know. But what he does really well is work as a foil for other people. And that's true even when I thought that he was great, like in The Bodyguard. You know, like he was an excellent foil in that series as well. And here, there is not as much interior work as there was in The Bodyguard. But, it's Priyanka's show all the way, right? Like, I don't know what they're setting up with Priyanka's character as yet, and I don't have any clue, but it's a very old-fashioned spy thriller where, you know, the world, you know, the fate of the world is up in the air and only these people can save it. But are they the good guys? Are they the bad guys? Even they don't know, all that kind of stuff. But Priyanka looks like a million bucks. She kicks serious ass. And I enjoyed every minute of it.
I got worried because Sujoy didn't like it that much. Like, it wasn't a glowing review. And then I think even like reviews in general have been quite mid about it. And I feel also the conversation has stopped. People don't talk about the show anymore. We're in episode 4 and the hype has already died down. So I came in with very low expectations and I really enjoy the show. Like, maybe I'm just a basic bitch. That might be the case too, which I'm not disagreeing with. But I just think Priyanka is amazing. Like, she is so good in this. Like, and it reminded me of my own words. Like, Hollywood doesn't know what they have with Priyanka. Okay. And I'll get to that because I also watched her rom-com, Love Again. I'll get into that a little bit later. But I just hope that... I think we think of stars like Chris Evans, Captain America, Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool. These men got tons of chances because they got stars. Mm-hmm. They had 30, 40 flops, movies that nobody watched, but they were a star. And Hollywood created concepts around them that finally worked to their strength. And I just hope they can do that with Priyanka because she is so strong. Like, she is higher level than anybody in this show. Like, she can deliver everything. No, she's even better than Stanley Tucci. I don't give a crap about it. Like, she is amazing in it. And the show writing is just not there. And she has to work with mid players like Richard Madden, who brings nothing to me. Like, he's just random white protagonist. You can exchange them one after the other. And it doesn't matter because they have no impact whatsoever for me. I love the scope of this show. Like, it is beautiful. Like, that train sequence, fight sequence that they have, it's just amazing how much money they've spent. And in a weird way, it made me remind us of the Lord of the Rings show that they did, The Ring of Power, where Amazon is just spending crazy money on a show that is just like getting blasted critically and they don't care. And I kind of love it. Like, I thought this is, I had low expectations because of the Russos, but I'm kind of enjoying what they're bringing with this. Like, it's not highbrow. It's not like a high level show. It's slightly elevated than kind of a dad show, like, say, The Diplomat, which we'll be talking about later as a Patreon exclusive. That's what it's trying to do, but with better visuals, and 90% of those better visuals are just Priyanka Jonas, you know, like Priyanka Chopra.
There is a scene, I think in the second episode, where, you know, like, she, you know, like, she is getting beaten up in the kitchen of this restaurant by this big bad guy, and he's a henchman, and he's just like beating the shit out of both her and Richard Madden. And all of a sudden, like, she gets back her memories and she suddenly remembers how to be a super spy, and she starts kicking the shit out of him. And it is one of the sexiest things that I have ever seen in my life. Like, it is so good. I had, like, I really was feeling ambivalent about this show until that point. And then, like, I just saw that particular scene and I was like, yeah, this is, that I'm having fun watching this, you know?
So after Shah Rukh, I think a bloodied face, Priyanka looks the sexiest in that, right?
Sujoy just like there, putting ghee on the fire of the fan wars.
But, yeah, I mean, I have to look at it because Dawn 3 apparently just got announced that Farhan is working on it. And Dawn 3.
It only got announced in the comment section of Instagram. It's not happening.
I don't know. But anyway, like, Dawn 3, if it happens, when it happens, Priyanka is not going to be a part of it. So I'm just saying, this is Priyanka living the Pathan fantasy on a bigger Amazon and Russo Brothers budget. She's living it. And it's fantastic to see that. Yes. And I think, having watched 4 episodes, because I'm ahead of you guys, for me, this show only works if you have your expectations to what it's serving. And it's not a highbrow spy thriller that is going to be, you know, intelligent and all of that. It's basically, tu jhoota hai, main bhi jhoota hoon, main bhi dhoke baazu, and all of that. So the to tone it down, I've basically reduced it to, oh, just expect it as not the Russo brothers, but the Barmawala brothers made it, like Abbas Mastan made it. So it's basically that. It's basically a race series to me.
It's not, though. I think it's Mission Impossible. It's not Pathan. It's Mission Impossible. And I don't think Mission Impossible movies are highbrow in any way, shape, or form. It's just like a basic spy story with some crazy action sequences. And I think that's what they're kind of going for.
When you have like convenient, you know, spy shit, like, this will give you memories and this will take out memories, but then Richard Madden does not remember who his wife is. It's weird.
Yeah.
But also, I do enjoy one thing about the series a lot, which is that the supervillain, the arch nemesis, is the British ambassador. It's the British ambassador who's like pulling all the strings, and I'm just like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
It's the villain we all feel is the villain, although it is a bit of a fantasy that this country has any pull on a global scale. You know, that they can get anything then. They can get, like, you know, sewage lines in their ocean stop. Like, there's like open sewage getting dumped in the ocean, and they can't even stop that, but they can do an international spy conspiracy. I don't think that's
happening. Anti-core.
Do you guys think people should watch Citadel?
I
Sach batao Asim Bani.
I think people need to readjust their expectations of the show. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think that's what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at it like a show like a dad show, basically, right? What they're calling the dad show genre, be it Diplomat, be it Bodyguard, be it Reacher. These are the kind of shows we're aiming for. I think this is that, but very much elevated in terms of just action set pieces and just kind of the bonkersness of it. I mean, there's a sequence where Richard Madden is on snow and he says snow boots, and then suddenly skis appear out of his boots. You know, that's the kind of level of movie this is at. And if you are on board with it, fine. Then you will enjoy it because of Priyanka, most of it, you know?
Yeah.
But if you don't have all of that and you are expecting something cerebral and highbrow, this is not that show. And I think, I don't know, I think a lot of times people just want, if it's like a Priyanka, everything needs to be an Oscar-worthy thing. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want that. She's been making all kinds of movies. She can do White Tiger, and then she can do this, and then she can do Love Again, and it's her right to do whatever she wants, you know? And I'm enjoying the show. I'm enjoying that it's coming out week to week, so it can kind of, you can space it out. I don't think this would work binge-wise. And I'm gonna be on board. I'm gonna finish this whole show. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm gonna be finishing the show because we have to talk about it.
I don't know, but I probably will finish it. But who
and
knows
the spin-offs,
when?
The spin-offs too, right?
Yeah. So I'm more excited about the Indian spin-off because Raj and DK are making it, and Varun and Samantha are in it. Yeah. So that'll be more interesting for me, actually.
Okay. Interesting. Let's talk about...
you were going to Love Again, right?
Love Again, yeah. So this is the rom-com that also came out with Priyanka Jonas. And Priyanka Chopra Jonas. Priyanka, let's just call Priyanka Chopra. That's our name for her.
PC.
So let's keep it that way, PC. And the thing is, like, I went to this movie because my wife is a huge Celine Dion fan. And she is producing this movie, and a lot of her music is incorporated in the movie itself. And it's kind of, and the story is sweet. It has something in it. It's like basically her boyfriend died in front of her eyes by a car crash. And 2 years later, she can't get over it. So she starts texting his old number, just how she's feeling and things like that. And that number is taken over from by another random white dude like Richard Madden. Like, he left no impression on me whatsoever. He's played by
Sam Heughan from the Outlander. For those of
you,
do you watch
Outlander?
I've seen the first season. I have issues with it, so I don't watch anything more of it.
I don't know if maybe he's much better in Outlander. I just find him a terrible actor. Like, I find him horrible. Like, he has no sense of when he should be doing comedy. He should be doing, like, you know.
I want the Outlander fandom to know that I had nothing to do with whatever Asim is saying right now. So please, like, when you go on the rampage, please leave me out of it. Please direct all your ire towards Asim.
See, I didn't know there was a show called Outlander, and apparently there's a fandom behind it. So I'm like
insane. It's like rabid bees kind of level of fandom.
That's so funny. I've literally never heard of this guy.
Are they like the Jimmy fans at the stage?
There was.
And it's the movie is really badly made. It's badly written, badly edited, badly styled, badly produced. Everything is bad except Priyanka Chopra and the actress that's playing her sister, which is Sophia Barkley, her name is, and she's amazing in it. She's playing kind of like a bubbly little sister, like a very classical role, but I think she does really, really well. But Priyanka is so good. She looks so beautiful. I don't know, like, I feel Priyanka is more beautiful now than she was when she was in Hollywood, in Bollywood movies. Like, there's like a bit of a maturity to her now where she's much more confident. And I think it just works really well for her. But they don't even style her really well. At the end of the movie, there's like, they're doing like a lip sync to Celine Dion songs, and it's basically shot like our podcast. It's basically on a phone, and Priyanka just did it at home, and she does like, she looks like a million bucks in those 30 seconds, where in the entirety of the movie is like, iske baal kisne kaate, who cut her hair? Like, I don't understand why they chose the most unflattering costumes, and it takes a lot of talent to make Priyanka Chopra not look good, right? And she has no chemistry with her lead whatsoever, and it's Priyanka. Like, she can create chemistry with anybody, right? But this guy gives her nothing to work with. There is a cameo with Nick Jonas, which is supposed to be fun. I think it's in the trailer too. But again, the jokes are just not there. Like, I think what they were trying to do is create something like Keanu Reeves in Always Be My Baby, you know, like that kind of thing. He comes in and becomes like this elevated thing that goes viral. But there's just no jokes there. There's no writing there. And the big kind of climactic dialogue and outburst that Priyanka has doesn't work. So yeah, it's just like she is bringing everything. Like, Priyanka is bringing all of her Priyankaness, but it's like basically having Jilmil. What's the name of her Barfi character? Jilmil.
Yeah, Jilmil. Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically Jilmil in an American Pie movie. The movie just doesn't deserve that level. This level of awesomeness. And bringing back my other point, I just hope Hollywood figures out what to do with her, you know, because it's not going great up until now, and she is great. And I don't want, like, I saw some people like say, you know, what is she even doing in Hollywood, you know? And it's because Bollywood was not treating her to what she felt she deserved. That's why she left. And I'm just, it's painful to see that the same pattern is now repeating in Hollywood now. And she's just not doing, like, she literally,
Didn't she produce this? Love Again?
I don't know if she... I didn't find her...
I think she did. So, yeah. I don't know. Like, I think, like, maybe she needs to figure out, like, what she's doing as well.
Yeah. I'm just going through IMDb. I'm not seeing her name. Yeah, I'm not seeing her name on IMDb credits. So, I do... It does seem like a Celine Dion thing. But... the thing is, she can't also sit at home, right? She has to keep working and being out there and try to hit different quadrants. And I think that's what she's trying to do. And I don't think anybody that watches this movie will feel that Priyanka is not good, except, you know, our Desi people, which are just like ranting and raving about things. It's a very mid kind of thing. And even like Celine Dion is a better actress than the male lead, you know, like it's, and she's not an actress in any way, shape or form, but I think she's quite charming in it. I don't know much of Celine Dion. I don't know much of her music, but I thought she was very likable, you know, and
this is her first appearance as an actor, right?
Yeah. There is a very, there's a plug for, is it Bumble, the dating website, right? And I think she's
an investor
there, right? Yeah. So that was like a very clear plug for the app. And I thought that was quite smart of Priyanka to plug that in because, you know, at least if she's suffering through this movie, she gets out of it, you know, she gets something out of it. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend Love Again to...
Not even for Celine Dion fans.
Not even for the Celine Dion fan next to me was a bit disappointed, unfortunately. Oh, so, let's move on. We watched Biswa Kalyan's stand-up, right? Mood kharab. Actually, it's funny because I was, I think you were not in London, Sujoy, at that time. And I was convincing some of our friends to go watch the show when he was in town.
Okay.
So I might have been part of the audience, but I ended up not going because Sujoy wasn't there. So I was like, never mind. So this is shot in London. It's around 50 minutes. It's on Prime. And it's actually kind of like number two or number three on Prime. He's like doing quite well in terms of streaming numbers. Mm-hmm. I don't watch a lot of Indian stand-up comedy as a whole. It doesn't really work for me. I think they had like a little wave. And then the AIB roast just destroyed the whole thing. And then the whole Me Too thing happened. And then that destroyed the rest of it. And so I don't watch it, but Sujo, you watch most of stand-up, right? From all of us, I think?
I try to watch whatever comes around, like as a background watch or something. I just, on a content level, it exists on the same level as a video podcast that I would watch, if that makes sense. It's not like, it doesn't feel like, I'm sure like there's a lot that goes into the making of a comedy special like this. They have months of, you know, stand-up shows and one open mics and then, you know, back and forth and focus groups and direction and all of that. But it does feel like when I see the final product, I don't see something that is produced well, something that is really thought out well, because most of the Indian comedy specials that I've watched are terribly unfunny. It just feels like riffing off on a podcast with, you know, these people are funnier on a podcast than their own comedy specials. It feels like that. And this is one such example where when the first Biswa special dropped, Mastadmi, I found it quite funny. And then it has been progressively worse for him.
Yeah.
And this is even worse than the last one. It's very, very boring, to be honest.
Yeah, I lasted about like 20 minutes. I think like the first 10 minutes were like mildly entertaining. And then I just zoned out. And then I was like, why am I just like putting this on if I'm not even paying attention to it? You know, so I found like a better use of my time.
The thing is also like because I grew up on comedy, like a lot of the things that these guys grew up on, I watch exactly the same thing, you know, the Dave Chappelle's, the Bill Burr's, the Eddie Murphy, all of that. I love stand-up comedy, right? And it needs to have some bite. It needs to have a point of view. It needs to have a voice. It needs to stand up against, you know, the powers that are in power. And these guys are just talking about minor grievances, you know, like, Zomato ki delivery nahi aayi, or, you know, matching in apps and like whatever he's talking about. And it's like, maybe I've grown out of it. Like, he is talking about a point of view of like he's 32 or something like that. And, you know,
so, even at 32, how much life have you lived to be able to talk about experiences that people can relate to, or people, you know,
was 19.
So, I don't think relatability is what makes, I think that's actually a good point. I think like that is where Indian stand-up stumbles, because they're just trying to find something that is universally relatable, and they forget that it is in specificity that the humor lies. You know, like when you look at something, let's say Richard Pryor was doing, or Eddie Murphy was doing, or George Carlin was doing, they were talking, or even Eddie Izzard, it's always like, you know, like they might be talking about like general things, but they're talking about it in a very specific personal manner. They're talking about it like, okay, so this is what happened to me. This is what I think. This is my point of view. And I'm going to make you laugh while you're doing it. Whereas Indian stand-ups seem to be making content for Instagram reels, to be honest, where they're just going like, ha, 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 don't we all feel this? Haven't we all gone through this? And I don't care about things that, you know, like everybody's gone through, because literally, everybody's gone through it. So we all know what it is. Like, who cares?
I also think there's a level of bravery needed in stand-up. Mm. And I feel like at this moment, Kapil Sharma is braver taking on some actors on his show. Whereas these guys... And I understand, like, what stand-ups have gone through has been horrible in the last few years in India. I understand it. Like, that they are scared. But it doesn't make for good content. It doesn't do it, you know. Like, there's a lot of people that I enjoyed initially, and now, like even like, is Zakir Khan, right? Is it Zakir Khan? Yeah. Even his thing, like, it just pisses me off that he has no point of view. Like, he's gone into this shayari kind of thing, and before he was like all about ladkiyan aisi hoti hai, ladke and all that, and none of that appeals to me. Like, I'm sure he can say things about the state of the country, but I mean, maybe it's just not for me. Maybe it's just uncle humor.
I mean, I don't know why they can't just make fiction. Like, you don't have to do stand-up, you know? Like, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, like, there's no reason for you to do it. You can just, like, do fiction.
I think it's the hide, no? Still, you are the sole protagonist in that sort of a scenario. You get to be center stage. That's the high.
Well, then you need to start thinking about it like a one-man show, and then like do something more than you just standing on the stage and being like, hey, didn't we all feel this?
Yeah. Like, if you look at something like last year in lockdown, we had Bo Burnham, right?
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah.
Like, that's the level you're competing with. And I know all of these guys are watching Bo Burnham, right?
They're watching
Hannah Gadsby, right? Like, these are
Daniel
like
Sloss.
These are people that are actually still changing things, and it's not about Bo Burnham didn't make any political statements necessarily. It was him in a room in a camera, right? Like, that was it. And it is one of the best stand-up things in years, right?
And cut to Biswa when his final 10, 15 minutes was just PowerPoint presentation jokes. Yeah. Like, that's the level.
Yeah.
It really happens, Amrita. If you keep watching it, at the point, there is a PowerPoint presentation. And
I am so glad I noped out.
Yeah.
It's a shame because I do like Biswa. I still like him as a guy. I like his kind of bite that he has. I did laugh a few times. But it's just not the worthwhile for 50 minutes to get like three small laughs. Like, it's just,
What good is a joke if it could have been a tweet? You know, it feels like that.
Let's talk about something that we did all like, Dahar. Which came out pretty much this week. How Amazon Prime is on fire with Indian content now.
You know, it's funny because I turned on The Hard and the credits started playing. And usually I skip credits, right? But sometimes when you're watching something and you see the credits, and just by watching the credits, you know that it's going to be quality.
Mm-hmm. You know? Are you going to talk about Reema Kagdi Zoya Akhtar banging us again? Like, is that going to be your analogy? banging us slowly, deeply.
I mean, it was freaking amazing. Like, I was in right from the credits. I was just like, inject this into my veins.
Sujoy, you go first. Then
I finished it. So I started watching it like the night it dropped. I got sucked into this world completely. Obviously, this is an 8-episode, almost 50 minutes per episode kind of show. So I could not watch it in the same night, because I usually watch it late night when everything is died down and I can watch it on my projector and stuff. But I was ready to go. But obviously, due to time constraints, I watched it over 2 days. And it's a show that is so immersive. It's written so well. It's acted out so well. Completely absorbed by it. And I'm still thinking about it. I might have to rewatch it again just because of the performances and the many layers that it's trying to explore. Great performances by the lead cast of Soham Shah and Gulshan Devaiya, Sonakshi Sinha, just amazing. And of course, Vijay Verma. Oh, so, so good.
For me, it took me longer than you guys. Like, I wasn't on board straight away with the show because I think I came in with very high expectations. And I think even when we were doing kind of the episode where we were looking at forthcoming shows and things, I was always saying, like, I really want things to work out for Sonakshi Sinha because I really like her. Like, I just think she's... I just like her. I think she's very beautiful to look at. And I think she's a great actress. I think she has, like, very... She can facial expressions and things like that. I think she's amazing. Like, she came out at the same time as Deepika and Sonam and all these kind of guys. And I think she got the worst career out of all of them.
Yeah.
But I just felt like she was so much more talented than Sonam ever was, you know, Sonam Kapoor ever was.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward that what can Tiger Baby and XL do with her. Mm-hmm. So I came in very high. And when I started watching the show, I felt it was a very... kind of show I had seen before, you know, like violence in, you know, UP or wherever they are in the back country of India, and those accents, like I've seen them before. And the one thing I was really missing from Reema Kagdi and Zoya Akhtar is kind of a visual lushness that they bring, like in Made in Heaven or in all of this movie. They're like so well produced, everybody's costume and the houses they're in, and I feel Dahar doesn't do that. It's not in your face, so it took me a while to kind of warm up to it. But I think within like mid episode 2, I was like fully on board, and then I was like, okay, I understand what they're trying to do, and it's not Reema Kagdi from A Made in Heaven, but it's Reema Kagdi maybe from Gold, you know. But not, you know, I'm not saying it derogatively, but I'm just saying that it's a very kind of box standard approach. But because they are so talented, because their writing is so on point, that it elevates it. And then also just performance-wise, I think everybody is like bringing their A game, and Gulshan Devaiya and Vijay Verma, they always bring their A game. Like every time, like last thing I saw with Vijay Verma was Darlings, and he's kind of playing that similar kind of role where he's kind of a creep, but a creep that you can understand to a certain degree. And here he's like just a horrible, horrible person, right? But he brings in so much humanity that really kind of wins you over.
Like the premise is so outlandish that one person can go around within a span of a couple of years, fool around with 29 girls and kill them.
Mm.
You know, one person.
Yeah.
Who has the time as a professor and also maintain a family with a child and a wife.
So this was apparently based on a true serial killer in Karnataka. Like this is...
Sai Naith Mohan.
Yeah.
Sai Naith Mohan, that's his name?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, I didn't find that part to be outlandish at all. I thought... And because they build in classism in it, they build in a patriarchal structure, and that comes in a bit later. If it was just a psycho killer kind of thing, I don't think the show would have worked, because they add so many layers, and especially how also what the societal position of Sonakshi Sinha is in this show. Like that sequence where I don't even understand it, because I don't understand caste politics as much because I'm not part of it, but that I understood where every time she's in the police station and one of the constables is like doing what is it,
the
like
agarbatti
right? Yeah. And I think he's probably purifying her presence, and they never get into a clash, at least not until I've seen it. But it's just one of those subtle things where she cannot enter where everybody else is enter. She's being, you know, looked at in a certain way. And that is then also the thrust of the show, that he's picking out these women because even their own family members don't care about them. And that really kind of hits you hard, right?
It's really, really interesting, because it's a lot of the things that this show is portraying is really subtle. The way that Sonakshi is sexualized, and you think that she's being sexualized because she's a woman wearing pants in a conservative, backward, rural society. But really, it goes towards the fact that, you know, she comes from a lower caste, and, you know, like the upper caste men feel entitled to her body. You know, so there's that little layer coming in, which you don't really realize until like about the second episode, when it really sinks into you what it means, you know, to live in this sort of context where you are constantly being judged upon sight for your caste. Like people literally, like it's such a tiny little world in that she inhabits that she doesn't need to actually say anything or even introduce herself. They just see her coming, like the Thakur in the first episode, and they already know who's her father, what's her caste, you know, all of that. And then you also see what, like, she and her circumstances with her mother trying to fit her in for a marriage, and talking about how the priest will not even look at families like theirs. And then you hear, like, you know, she's going to all these women's homes, and every time she meets one of those families, they keep asking her the same thing, like, are you married? Like, you know, and they're not worried about her. Like, that's not why they're asking her if she's married. They are asking her if she's married in a way that is sort of like, you know, like they're all in it together. You know, like they understand what it's like to have no money and then have a daughter to marry off. And they're like, well, how are things with you? Because, you know, like I hear from your name, like, so in India, like the last name, especially North India, not really South India, but in North India, especially, you can tell people's caste by their last name. So you know, if she comes in and she says that, you know, my name is Bhatti and I'm here to investigate something, then they're like, well, here's a woman and she is from a lower caste, just like us. So how's she doing? You know, like, is she married or not? So it's interesting, all the layers that you get in. And then in the first episode where the brother gets, you know, like sort of like joins all the right-wing bigots, because that's the only way that he can manipulate the system to pay attention. Like, he's like the one guy who actually cares about like what happened to his sister, and he wants something to happen. And, you know, everybody is just so focused on victimizing this one poor Muslim guy who has like nothing to do with anything. And instead, like, the only way that he can get any kind of justice is to navigate that system. Yeah. And then, like, it's like when that reveal happened where, you know, like, where he goes like, yeah, like, no, she was actually dating some guy called Vijay, and it wasn't Imran, and I lied. I was just like, my jaw was on the floor. I was just like, wow. Did not see that
coming. You see the path of radicalization in one sequence. And that is just so smartly done, right? Like,
I haven't seen the entire thing because I haven't had the time to watch the entire thing. But this is something, like, I'm literally going to finish this podcast and then I'm going to watch at least one more episode before I go to bed.
It was literally 2 a.m. yesterday when I switched it off. I was like, I have to stop here. But it just completely engrossed me. I wanted to finish it. I wanted to see how this goes. And I hope, you know, it ends well for the people. And also what they really do well is two things. It's one, every episode ends with a cliffhanger. And I think that's just so smart in this binging era. If you understand that this is going to be all dropped in one go, you have to make it bingeable, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very smart. And also just the complexity of the characters, like even like the Soham Shah character, right? Who's kind of her senior, but he's been demoted because he's kind of corrupt. And he has a connection with the senior of Gulshan Devaya, right? And the politics that plays, and I think it's caste politics. I understood that they're probably from the same caste. I didn't pick up on the names or stuff like that. But just the way he has a sense of superiority over Sonakshi Sinha, and he wants to play that. But on the other hand, he's also a cop dealing with his own insecurities as, you know, a father that doesn't want a child. He's really depressed. Clearly, he's depressed by the state of the world. And he's also competent. He's not an incompetent cop, right?
Yeah.
And I just thought that makes it a very human character, having all of those different aspects in it. And that just shows you the level of smart writing that excellent we have.
Nobody is like an ancillary character per se, you know, that they are fully realized, at least the main characters or the main actors who are playing all of these different characters. They're so, so well written. Every little complexity that's going in their personal life and how that all interweaves in the bigger scheme of things. It's really smart in that way. And, you know, I know, Asim, you hate it when it comes to, like, you know, the Rajasthan is a character in this story. But it is, though. Like, it really plays a really specific role in how everything shapes up, you know, in its geography, the heat, the population that, you know, populates these neighborhoods, and the politics that the different stratas of this particular society. It could not be a different location in India where this could exist. I think the whole specific detail about the Sonars, them being businessmen, and the father and his, you know, traditional family business being of a goldsmith, that also comes into play later. There's so many intricate details that this show just strews around for you to pick up all these Easter eggs.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I think it doesn't annoy me here because it's really well done. But I don't know, maybe it could be set in Bihar or UP. Like I saw Khaki like a few months ago when it came out, and it felt like that same kind of world with accents and things like that. I don't know, my geography of India isn't like I know much about it, but I just think it's really, really well done, and even the minor flaws that you then have about the show gets wiped away because it's just head and shoulders above anything else that's out there, you know. And
in Zoya Akhtar we trust.
Imagine how good Archie's will be. Just think about it, you know? No, like Zoya with Mini Khan and Mini, all of them. Like, it's going to be so my jam. I cannot wait for it, man.
When is that dropping?
Later this year. I think like September or something.
I have beef, though, with... I think Amazon Prime and Netflix should send us screeners. So I don't know if anybody's listening to the Khandan podcast. Send us damn screeners so we can cover the whole show on the show before we get into it. Like, I just feel like I tried to finish the whole season and I just couldn't.
I think we probably will get screeners.
I hope so. We're going to have to drop some reminder emails to our PR contacts. Send us that shit. Send us the good shit, you know? I don't know if we'll talk about Dahar again, but I think we don't want to spoil it. People kind of come into it later, and I think it's a very, very bingeable show. I also appreciate that although it's dealing with some very horrific things, it doesn't make it salacious, you know.
Yeah.
And it could have done that. Like, I'm thinking of the show Imtiaz Ali made, She or Her or whatever that was, you know, where went just too far. So I appreciate that.
And also,
that
like, what was that other show with Rana Dagupati, Rana Naidu?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, very, what do you say, in very bad taste. But this is, like, I think the whole Reema Kakti and Zoya Akhtar being at the helm definitely makes a difference on how the sensibilities are being handled, even when it's about sexual violence and stuff.
Yeah. The quality just shines through.
Yeah. It also reminds me a bit of Raat Akeli Hai. Remember that one with Nawaz? I don't know. It's just kind of that vibe, that kind of thing. Yeah. I think this is it for this episode. If you are a Patreon subscriber, we're going to continue talking a little bit. Our Patreon people will get more things that we're talking about. So we want to talk about The Diplomat that we watched on Netflix, Queen Charlotte, and Air. The movie on Prime with Ben Affleck. And I think Amrita has some amazing thoughts about that. So I really am keen to hear. But if you're not a Patreon subscriber, this is the end of the show. Amrita, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at AmritaIQ. And you can also subscribe to our newsletter at khandan.substack.com.
Sujoy?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at N9E3K. And you can follow Khandan Podcast on all our socials at Khandan Podcast.
And do follow us because Sujoy is making a lot of cool reels. So, follow us there. A lot of things are happening. And drop us an email at upodcasting@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. And subscribe to Patreon. And thanks for listening. Hey. 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 Hey.